Today, we'd like to see the book of Romans, chapter 9, verses 9 to 33, under the title of Righteousness of Faith. To online words multitudes, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 11, for the children of not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not over works, but over him who calls. What does it mean? What does this verse mean? Question 2. In verses 25 and 26, as he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. What do they describe? What do they describe? Last question 3, in verses 30 and 31, what shall we say then that Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. What is the difference between the righteousness of faith and the law of righteousness? First of all, we'd like to see the brief background. Last time, chapter 9, verses 6 to 8, Paul said, but it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac, your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted as the seed. Isaac was through Sarah, Abraham's legitimate wife, while Ishmael was through Hagar, Sarah's maidservant. So, Isaac was only considered as the child of God because based upon God's promise, God's word, but Ishmael not considered as the children of God. So God is God. God has many characteristics: sovereignty, foreknowledge, predestination, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, and so on. Paul referred to many verses in the Old Testament in today's Bible study. Verse 9, for this is the word of promise. Promise means God's word. The word of promise, at this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. This Sarah shall have a son, that phrase was cited from Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. So which meaning God told to Abraham, so your wife Sarah shall have a son, not Ishmael. Ishmael was already born through Hagar. That is chapter 18. Verse 10, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac. So Rebekah's husband Isaac. Then verse 11, for the children not yet being born. Rebekah and Isaac had two children. The first son, twin. First son, Esau. Second one is Jacob. Nor having done any good or evil, they were not born yet, so therefore they had no time to do good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Here, God's sovereign election before their birth, not of works, but of him who calls. Here, not of works, which meaning not over human works, but of him who calls, as God pleases, as God wants. We should note that God has a foreknowledge. Esau despised his birthright or spiritual thing, but he was interested only in material thing. That's why Esau sold his birthright to his younger brother, you know, Jacob. So God only recognized spiritual thing. God does not recognize the works of flesh, only recognize the works of the spirit. Verse 12, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. The older shall serve the younger was cited from Genesis chapter 25, 23. Actually, God told to Rebekah, so the older shall serve the younger. The older is Esau. Esau, the forefather of Edom country. So Jacob was the forefather of Israel country, which meaning Edom country shall serve Israel. Then verse 13, as it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. That part is cited from Malachi chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Here showing God's absolute sovereignty behind the foreknowledge. So God has a foreknowledge. God already knew Jacob loves the spiritual thing, you know, but Esau loves the material thing or a flesh thing. So here, before Jacob and Esau birth, God said, I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau. So then verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Which meaning God is unfair. Because before their birth, God already absolutely elected. God loved Jacob. God loves Esau. So that's why question, is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. Absolutely not. For he says, God says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. This verse is cited from Exodus chapter 33, verse 19. Exodus chapter 33, verse 19. So, we do not deserve mercy or compassion. That's God's favor. So, God gave mercy whatever he wants to whom. So, that's basically God have compassion on whomever God wants to give compassion. So that's a basic, that is explained God's sovereignty. But in order to understand God's sovereignty, we should know God is God. God also has a foreknowledge character. Foreknowledge, which means before somebody is doing, God already knows somebody what he's doing. That is a foreknowledge, F-O-R-E, before knowledge. So God has knowledge before somebody is doing what, you know, he's doing. So that is a foreknowledge. So then it is not of him he who wills. So who wants? Him who wills. Him mean a human being. It is not of a human being who wills, nor of him who runs. Nor over human being creature who runs, who strives, but of God who shows mercy. So mercy is God's favor. Not we do not deserve it, you know, God's mercy. at all. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up. So God have raised you up, meaning Pharaoh, you up, that I may show my power in you. So God's power in you, in Pharaoh, through Pharaoh, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. This verse is cited from Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. Then verse 18, therefore, he has mercy. God has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. He wills he hardens is cited from Exodus chapter 7, verse 3. Basically, God allowed 10 plagues to Pharaoh. So God did not punish Pharaoh at first time. God was patient until God gave 10 plagues to Pharaoh and Egypt. So why? Because here said God wants to show his power through Pharaoh, that my name may be declared, may be known in all the earth through the world. So Pharaoh did not obey God's commandment through Moses and Aaron, basically allow to flee Israelite out of Egypt until 10 plagues occurred. Then Pharaoh lost his first son the last time. Then Pharaoh sent his Egyptian army pursuing the Exodus, the Israelites leaving from Egypt. Then Egyptian armies were killed and drowned in the Red Sea. So at that time, all the world know the God's power and the God's name. So that kind of a scenario. So verse 19, you will say to me then, why does he still find a fault? So you cannot complain God's fault. For who has resisted his will? So we are creature, we cannot complain against the God creator about fault or against God's will. Then here, disciple Paul pointed out potters like a creator, clay like a creature. So potter want clay to make a vessel for honor or for dishonor or for destruction. Potter and clay scenario are cited from Isaiah chapter 45 verse 9, Jeremiah chapter 18 verse 6. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? So man, creature, cannot complain against God. Will the thing formed say, the thing formed, which means creature, say to him who formed it, to creator, why have you made me like this? So creature cannot complain to creator. Does not the potter have a power over the clay? So the potter can make a clay whatever he wants, whatever he pleases. From the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor. Verse 22, what if God wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known endured with much long suffering? Here, God made 10 plagues not destroyed at first time Egypt. So God, here vessels for destruction, vessels of wrath for destruction, but their effort destroyed the pursuing Egyptian armies. Here, vessels in the Red Sea. Why? In order to make all the earth known God's power and God's name. So disciple explained in that way God's sovereignty. Verse 23, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Here the vessels is Israelite. Israelite is the word delivered from the pursuing Egyptian out of Red Sea, which he had prepared beforehand for glory. So verse 24, not only Israel, Jews, even us whom he called, God called not of Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Then verse 25, as he said also in Hosea, God says in Hosea, about 700 years before Jesus' birth, God used Hosea the prophet to be sort of a living illustration of God's marriage to Israel. God told Hosea to go down to the prostitute Gomer, which he did, and she had three children. The last son's name was Lo-Ami, meaning not my people. Here, Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, who were in the past tense not my people, which meaning who were not Jews. So here, the cited from Hosea chapter 2, verse 23. So here, Hosea prophesied God make the Gentiles as the children of God. I will call them my people, which means the people of God, who are not, in the past tense, were not God's people. So here indicating the Gentiles. And her beloved, who was not beloved. So not beloved, children of God, in the past tense, but God will call her beloved. That's indicating the Gentiles as the children of God. Verse 26, and it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. Here, the Israelite, the last son's name, Lo-Ami, not my people, because they worshiped idols. So God calls the Jews, not my people. There shall be called the sons of the living God. Here, God will restore the Jews into the children of God. That one is cited from Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. Verse 27, Isaiah also cried out concerning Israel. Now, disciple cited Isaiah's prophecy. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea. So number of children of Israel, a lot of the children, the Jewish people, a lot of it, like the sky, you know, on sea, you know, through Abraham, and God told to Abraham, your descendant like the sky, you know, on the heaven, the stars on the sky, like that. The sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved, but not all Israel people or not all the Jews are saved, but remnant, a few. Then the dead one is cited from Isaiah chapter 10, verse 22 and 23. Then verse 28, for he will finish, God will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Because the Lord will make a short work, short time work upon the earth. So here indicating God's special plan for the Jews in the great tribulation over 7 years, very short time. That is the book of Revelation, to chapter 7 and 8, talking about 144,000 people, the Jewish people, are saved from the great tribulation. That is a short work. Then verses 29, and as Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of Sabbath, Sabaoth is a Hebrew word which means host. The Lord of hosts had left us a seed. Here, a seed which means a very small remnant, 144,000 Israelites rooted in Jesus Christ. Rooted in Jesus Christ. We would have become like Sodom, and we would have been made like Gomorrah. So which meaning, unless a remnant, a seed meaning a few Jewish people who believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, only those people will be saved. Other people will be completely destroyed, like Sodom and Gomorrah. Then it's 30 and 31. What shall we say then? The Gentiles, non-Jews like us, who did not pursue righteousness, who did not pursue or do not follow righteousness, keeping the law of God by human labor, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. So the Gentiles, ironically, had attained righteousness. How come? By the righteousness of faith, the righteousness of faith, not works of the law to attain the righteousness, but Gentiles who believe in Jesus Christ have attained the righteousness. Why? God imputed Jesus' righteousness out of each Gentile's faith in Jesus Christ to them through faith in Jesus Christ. As Abraham believed God, and God imputed it for righteousness. But Israel pursuing the law of righteousness, Israel pursuing the law of righteousness by human labor, human works, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Israel not attained the righteousness, not human works. Faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ Savior is required to be righteous or to be saved. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the Lord, not human works. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Here, stumbling stone, Jesus Christ, because required the faith in the Jesus Christ. Most Jewish people still do not believe the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, because they don't believe Jesus as a Messiah, as the prophet prophesied in the Old Testament, most of them. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. Some stumbling stone, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will come on the earth in Zion to establish millennium kingdom. Stumbling stone, and whoever believes on him, which means whoever believes on Jesus Christ as your Savior, either Jews or the Gentiles, will not be put to shame. That verse is cited from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. So let's see each question. In verse 11, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. What does it mean? Here, disciple explained God's sovereign election, whatever he pleases, he is doing, explains God's election. So that is human works is totally irrelevant to God's sovereign election. Question two, in verse 25-26, as he said also in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and her beloved who is not beloved. This verse prophesied for the Gentiles to be called as the children of God, my people, which means God's people. Verse 26, and it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, You are not people. Here, the Jewish people who worship idols against God. You are not my people, but there they shall be called the sons of the living God. This verse describes the Israelite to restore, to coming back to the Lord. Then is in great tribulation, that time, very short time, is those people will come back to the Lord through Jesus Christ. The last question in verses 30 and 31, what shall we say then, that Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith, but Israel pursuing the law of righteousness has not attained to law of righteousness. What is the difference between the righteousness of faith and the law of righteousness? Righteousness of faith means in order to become righteous only require faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So that is the righteousness of faith. Based upon your faith, God considers you as a righteous person. So the law of righteousness, which meaning by work to keep the law which is the word of God, keep the law, human being can be righteous. But the human being is not enough to be righteous at the standard of God, because all human beings, all humans are sinners, so we cannot reach it, the God's standard of righteousness. So always not enough to reach it, God's righteousness. Only one way, you know, through the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So based upon faith, we are counted as righteous by God. Let's just sing song all together, last song.